So we're picking back up, and this is kind of one of the last steps. And so I may have one more lesson after this. This may be the final one. But we want to talk about creating paragraph summaries and figuring out what the purpose of the book is. And so just to kind of review where we've been through, this first step we did was read through the whole book, took a yellow legal pad, we made notes of anything that stood out to us, anything that popped up that spoke to us, anything that got us kind of going, I wonder what that means. And we made a list of those things, and that was just to get familiar with the book. And we read the book in an entire sitting, because it was a letter meant to be read in one sitting, for the book of Philippians at least. And then the second thing we did is we created a verse category chart, and so we created a chart that had some verse categories over it. And when we did, we had some things for like author and recipients just other characters, where it was written, maybe something about end times. The date of writing. One of the main things we want to look for is why was it written? You don't write somebody a letter just to write them a letter, usually. Girls do, I guess, but that's about it. But you write people a letter because you have a reason for that. I mean, I don't write letters unless I have something I'm trying to communicate to somebody and I need to do it in a written form. We also, you could add your own columns. So we could add columns for special doctrines or things about the church, things about the end times, any special promises or conditions associated with those promises, anything about the Godhead. But the main thing we're looking for is who's the author, who are the recipients, why did he write it, when did he write it, and what are the main problems in the book. And so we listed those truths under each category, and we had several people here added their own categories. And so we had a piece of paper that kind of looked like this with the different columns that we chose to use, and then we filled them with verses, and so we've kind of played detective. It was like going to a crime scene and seeing the evidence. And in fact, as I was actually recently with some policemen, happened to be at a crime scene within the last two or three weeks. I can't remember where now, but there was a police photographer there, and he was taking pictures. And they actually were using a surveying transit, they call it. So they had a transit there with a little telescope looking thing on top of it. They had another policeman holding a pole, 100 feet away or so, and they were taking measurements. And what they were doing is making a grid and then photographing everything inside the grid. That's the first time I'd ever noticed them using a transit while they were surveying the scene. And if it's a big enough scene, big enough crime, then that's what they would have to do. And then they label the squares in that grid, and they document what's in each square, and they usually have a little cube that shows which way the thing was laying. And they get back at the lab, and they can reconstruct the crime scene in an area where it's not going to be messed up. And by the way, same thing happens when a plane crashes. The FAA comes in, they make a grid of everything and where the wreckage fell and exactly how it was laying, and they photograph it in its site, and then they take it all back to a large hangar and they put everything out exactly in the same orientation as they found it at the crash site. But then what you do is you look at the evidence and say, well, what happened? Why is everything the way it is? And so what we're doing is we're looking at the book and saying, well, who wrote it? Why did they write it? What was the big occasion of their writing it? What were the problems? What's this tell us today about our problems in the church? But we have to get inside the head of the writer to know how things should apply before we see how they apply to us. And now we want to get the big picture. Why? In other words, when you're looking at some weird passage, and there was one or two kind of weird verses in Philippians. You know, when you read something like, make your calling and election sure, that you always think, well, what does that actually mean? Or if you read something about this will, ensure your salvation. You think, well, what does that mean? And so what we have to do is figure out what was in the head of the writer to understand it. And so we had a little walkthrough, and we kind of did a demo here a few weeks back, where we kind of got a pretend family up here doing it together. We walked through and we put some verses under different categories to give an example of how we did that. Well, now, the last assignment we had was to write the background and setting report. And I was actually pleasantly surprised today, because I was sure nobody had gotten this done because everybody's been busy. We've had weddings going on. There was family camp going on. A whole bunch of families were gone to that. Well, I'm proud to say that three people turned in their paper. So Christopher Adams got his paper here. Two of the Darling girls did theirs. They're in my pocket. And so I'm really impressed that some people put the effort to do that. But what they did is they took their categories, and now that they've listed all the verses about the author and what they say, they could write a paragraph on, here's who the author. And of course, the author was the Apostle Paul. But we learn a lot of stuff about the Apostle Paul in the process. Then we wrote a paragraph about the recipients. Who were they? What do we know about the church at Philippi? What kind of problems were they having? What kind of circumstances were they under? Were they suffering persecution or not? What was the time for the writing? There were a lot of clues in this epistle, for example, that said that this was written during Paul's first imprisonment because he's hoping to get out again, you know, and he's hoping to come see the Philippians again. And if this was his last imprisonment, he'd know that he was headed very soon to be executed. So that we're looking and we're right a background paper. And so it's kind of interesting. Here's Christopher's, his fit on. It's fit on one page, but he got all of his observations from Scripture. Now, this is the only step so far where we've allowed you to use anything else. You can go get a Bible encyclopedia like Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Encyclopedia and read from that. But we're trying to get everything we can from Scripture first. So here was the paper Christopher wrote. It was one page. If you're curious what mine looks like, there's some copies on the back table. It's nine pages. So if you want to read that, there's just kind of my observations. I think each of the two Durling girls that turned theirs in wrote about two to three pages apiece. Anyway, so I'm proud of them for having done that. So here's the next step, and then I'll be done. And that is to write paragraph summaries, or a better word, you might just change this to titles. Write the titles. In other words, if you ever noticed in your Bible, when you read your Bible, that the Bible editors put in some paragraph titles or headings for stuff? Now, in Psalms, when it says a Psalm of Asaph or something, that's actually part of Scripture. Verse 1 really ought to say a Psalm of Asaph, and verse 2 would be the next thing. We kind of messed that up. But when you look, for example, in Paul's epistle, and maybe it says Paul's exhortation to elders, okay, that's not part of Scripture. Your Bible editors put that in there to help you kind of know what the paragraph's about. But you would do this yourself. So, the first thing I did when I was going through this process is I wrote out a summary of every verse in Philippians, just by hand. Wrote out what I thought the verse meant. So, you know, the verse might be 25 words long. I'm just going to write a quick summary or note what that verse is about. And then I'm going to go through and look at each paragraph. And after I read the summary of every verse, I'm going to say, what's this paragraph about? And I'm going to give the paragraph a title. And that's what you want to do. And you want to keep your titles to 8 words or less. The reason you want to do that is because you're trying to boil things down to a simple form and a simple outline that makes it easier for you to understand what the book's about. That's why I want to keep it to 8 words or less. So here's an example. So here's chapter 3, verses 17 through 41. And you'll notice I started by writing what each particular verse was about. So in 3:17, I said, Paul exhorts the readers to follow his example and the example of others who walk according to the godly pattern. 3:18, where Paul is grieved by the many bad examples that are walking around of those who are enemies to the cross of Christ. And 3:19, it says these people, here's their characteristics. They have their goal is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, and their mindset is earthly. And so that's how he characterizes them. A little bit more, 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we're looking for the Savior to return. 3:21, the Savior's return is going to transform our humble bodies to be like His glorious body according to His power. And then in 4:1, which is where the paragraph actually ends, you notice paragraphs don't always end at the end of a chapter. They added chapter and verse numberings later, but paragraphs were already in there. So 4:1, Paul tells his dearly beloved readers who are part of his heavenly reward to stand firm in their faith in Christ. So now that I've got kind of a summary of what each verse is about, I have to put a title. So here's an example of a title or a summary I might use. I might say, stand firm in faith and walk in Christlikeness. Because that's really what all those verses that I just read or summarized are about. Now, what you do is create a chart. Now, here's what my chart on Philippians looked like. And what I did is I just got a little computer action going here. And when I did, I basically just created these kind of diagonal lines at the top, and I put a title for each paragraph up there. So, for example, my title for chapter 1, verses 3 through 11 says, Paul's Prayer for Gospel Partners and Grace Partakers. And chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Courage from Chains. Paul taking courage. He wants other people to have courage from his being in prison. 1:15 through 26, living or dying, all for God's glory. So I give each paragraph a title. Now, when you give every paragraph a title, you're going to find out that some of the paragraphs go together. So, for example, there's a salutation and then a prayer for the Philippian church. So I could say that chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, is Paul greets his gospel partners. Then he says, take courage from my chains. Whether you live or die, do it for God's glory. There's a privilege in suffering for the Savior. Those three things kind of go together, don't they? So I titled that section 1, 12 through 30, The Glory of Suffering. Okay? And then the chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, is the exhortation, example, and eschatology of unity, and then living your salvation out in life. So I said, well, humble service brings unity and glory. So what you're doing here is you're taking and giving each paragraph a title, and then when if you see two or three paragraphs that go together, you can call that a section, and you can give that section a title. And what happens is you keep working up the levels as far as you want to see what is the outline of the book. Now what you're doing here is you're getting the outline from the author. You're pulling, it's called inductive Bible study. In other words, you're getting the outline from the Scripture rather than imposing your own outline. And then ultimately we're going to get something called a controlling purpose, which we'll talk about in a minute. Now here's another way you might look at it. So I did this years ago on just some computer paper and an old tractor feed printer. Here's how I would do it today. I'd use a mind mapping software and I just put Philippians paragraph headings. And so there's, you'll notice at the far right is my title for each paragraph. Just a level above that is where I put two or three paragraphs under the same heading. So there you can see 1, 12 through 30, the privilege of suffering and service. And under that's 3 points. Take courage from my chains. Whether you live or die, do everything for God's glory. And it's a privilege to suffer for the Savior. So that's another way that it might look. Okay? Now, so after you have written your background and setting paper, so we've had three people at least turn theirs in now, so I guess a total of four of us have done that. Okay? But after you've done that, and after you have written these titles for your paragraphs, and remember, the key to a title is it needs to be 8 words or less. That helps you get down to the meaning. When you force somebody to say something in 8 words or less, it makes them get to the core of the argument. Okay? After you've done that, you want to figure out what is the one purpose behind the whole book. So it's kind of like you take this chart and you go the top level, which is every paragraph, you go to the next level and you get all of the section headings and maybe you go another level. What you're getting into is what's the purpose for the whole book? What's the big thing? And here's my example. So this is just an example. You can do yours as you like, but here's my example. Paul exhorts his missionary partners to practice peace, patience, and unity in the face of increasing suffering. Because they were going to be suffering, and he tells them they need peace, they need patience, and they need unity. Those three things. And so that doesn't mean that this is the correct controlling purpose, but it means it was the one that I kind of came up with as I was working through it. You may come up with a totally different thing, and that's okay. But chances are, if you've all done the process together, you're going to come very close to the same kind of thing in every one. Now, why is this so important that we get this controlling purpose? If you figure out what the main idea, there's an old saying that the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. If you figure out what the main thing in a book is, then when you read a verse that troubles you, or read a verse that doesn't make sense to us in English, or whatever language is our primary language, when we read a verse that doesn't make sense to us, if you know the big reason that Paul wrote the book, what's the controlling purpose of the book, it will help you interpret those difficult passages. It's kind of like, well, if you know that Paul really is writing this book because the Philippians haven't been in unity and he wants them to be in unity, he wants them to have peace, and he knows that they're going to be under increasing pressure because there's tribulation coming in their future, and he's experiencing tribulation now because he's in prison, then when you read a passage, you can say, you know, I think I understand what he means now because he's trying to encourage them to have peace and unity. And that will help you if you know what was in his mind and what was in his heart. It helps you to know what the meaning of a particular verse is. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what we're trying to do. So one other thing I'll just encourage you to do. We've been doing all this kind of thing on paper. But there is software available today called mind mapping software. You could go out and Google this mind mapping software. There's a bunch of different things. What's up, Richard? Okay. There's several free ones that are available, XMind, and there's I don't know. There's several more I've used in the past. The best of all of them that I've tried, and I've tried about five or six, is not free. It's called MindJet Mind Manager. It's the most full-featured one. One of the cool things about that is you can develop an outline, and then you can give it a PowerPoint template, and it'll create a PowerPoint show for you based on the outline. It'll also create a Word outline, and so if you're going to write a paper like the background and the setting paper, and you already had everything organized, you could have it, dump it all into Word for you in an outline format, and then it'd be real easy to just add a few words, and you'd have your background and setting paper done. Now, there is a place, since most of our family's homeschool, there is a site called Academic Superstore. I think a brand new copy of MindJet Mind Manager Pro version 2012 is something like like $280 or so, but homeschool families can get it for around $74. And I just ordered some last week for my daughters, so they'll have it on their computer. It's a great tool to have not only for Bible study, but a great tool for school. It's a great tool for keeping your day organized. It's just a great tool for keeping your life organized. So I highly recommend mind mapping software, and it makes it easier to do graphs like that one or that one, and it just is a lot more intuitive. You start seeing, and what I like about it is I'll create a mind map, and then I can drag stuff from one part of the map to the other till structure makes sense to me. So that's actually a screenshot of Philippians there, and you can see where I've organized things under author or Christ or recipients or reasons for writing or end times and where it was written at, things of that nature. And that helps me when I'm studying the Bible. Like the other day I was studying the passage in 1 Corinthians 11 about whether a woman should wear a head covering. So I translated the whole passage, and then I started dragging things onto a mind map until I could see Paul's argument come out and see the structure come out, and that helps you understand that passage that poses a lot of difficulty for a lot of people. So it's a really good tool to use. I encourage you. You don't have to have software to do this. You can do it on a piece of paper. You just draw a circle and you call it Philippians, and then you draw another circle called author, and you label you stick everything under author that you can find about the author, and then label to do another circle called recipients, stick everything under there called recipients.